Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev, on this 12th day of September.
It is.
And it's the birthday of our son in love, yes, Chris.
That's right. And we're our
Dr. Chris.
That's true. Dr. Chris. Our Do Not Fear scripture for the day is Jeremiah 10:5. Jeremiah 10:5 says, like a scarecrow in a cucumber field, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do you no harm, nor can they do any good. Wow. Fascinating. Okay.
Yes, it is.
On today's call,
we're going to discuss 7 reasons to fess up if you mess up.
There you go.
It's okay to mess up. If you confess what you've done, you get up, leave your pity party behind, and begin moving on to experience the rich, satisfying life that God says can be yours through His Word. Be warned now. This teaching will directly impact your spiritual well-being and personal enrichment, whether you realize it at first or not. You may feel as though you've totally blown it in the past, but God still has your back. That statement is guaranteed in Scripture. It's not something that we're just saying to make you feel better. Here are 7 reasons why it's okay if you messed up in the past to move on.
Number 1, God will forgive our sins. Don't ever want to forget this principle. 1 John 1:9, Classic Amplified says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to His will in purpose, thought, and action. That is what we call great news.
Yes, it is.
If we admit our sins, we confess them. We go, Lord, I messed up. He will forgive us. Not only that, He will cleanse us from all the unrighteousness. So what does 1 John 1:9 identify as unrighteousness? It says He will continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to His will in purpose, thought, and action.
Wow.
Sometimes we can get the idea that, how do I say it? We can not even know that I'll get it out. Sometimes we don't realize it was unrighteous until later. And then we go, whoa, that isn't in conformity to God's will. So I need to confess it right now. And hallelujah, guess what? He'll cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Don't know how. Guess the enemy didn't want me to say that. The point is, sometimes we don't know. But God. When we realize we're wrong, we confess and we'll be right.
That's it. Number 2, when you confess your sins, God will not deal harshly with you. Psalm 103:10-12. 103:10-12, New Living Translation. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west.
Mm.
Sometimes we beat ourselves up over our mistakes more than anybody else would.
Number 3. When you pray for others, dynamic and destiny-changing power is released into your life. James 5:16, Classic Amplified. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips or your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that ye may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of heart, mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. If you pray for other people, I love that. When we pray for one another, It looses a spirit, something in the spirit realm that works in and through us and helps us. It's like a harvest. Not only that, Job 42:10, Classic Amplified says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." When we pray for other people, we have ready access to dynamic power. Everything the enemy has ever taken can be restored. Plus, we will have twice as much as we ever had before.
Hallelujah.
Fear not.
Number four, God not only forgives our sins, he forgets them as well. I love this. Isaiah 43:25, Classic Amplified. I am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. The Message Bible translation of Isaiah 43:25 says it this way, "But I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins." I remember hearing the story of a prophet who traveled to a particular city. His gift was to read people's mail, revealing things in their past, dealing with things currently happening in their lives, and giving them a prophetic word for their future. This one pastor who was planning to attend the meeting asked his wife to accompany him. She told him simply that she had too much to do. He persisted, but she insisted it was not possible at this time. Truth be told, the pastor's wife was petrified that secrets from her past, unknown to her husband, would be revealed. The pastor came home so pumped up after the meeting, sharing everything that happened with his wife. She smiled and said, "Yes, maybe next time I'll be able to go," believing the prophet would not be coming again for many years. 6 months later, the prophet came back to town, and this time the pastor insisted that his wife attend with him. No matter what she said, he wouldn't take no for an answer. She reluctantly agreed, provided they would not sit in the pastor's section. She knew that visiting ministers almost always ministered to the preachers. Her husband agreed. They sat on the front row on the left-hand side. The other preachers were in the center section. When the prophet finished his teaching, he announced during the message that God directed him to minister to pastors, not to minister to the pastors, but to people on the left-hand side of the church. Mm. Can you imagine how this pastor's wife felt? She felt her worst fears were about to happen, and the secrets of her past revealed to her husband and everyone else in the room. When the prophet stepped in front of the pastor and his wife, the pastor nudged his wife forward, only to have the prophet say, no, not now. God is telling me something about your wife. Let me prophesy over you first. The woman's heart sank. She was horrified about what she thought was most assuredly going to happen. The prophet read her husband's mail, revealing his past and giving him an encouraging word for the future. The pastor was in tears as the prophet called his wife forward. The prophet told her the reason she was last was because God told him there was some serious sin in her past. The room grew very quiet as all the saints slipped to the edge of their seats, anticipating the prophet's next words, inquiring minds wanting to know. The woman could barely maintain her composure. She was petrified of what was about to happen. Everybody got quiet in anticipation. The woman was barely breathing. The prophet said, "So I asked God to reveal to me what your serious sin was." And God said, then the prophet paused before saying, "I don't remember. I don't remember." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Child of God, your Heavenly Father not only forgives your sins, He forgets them as well. It's time for you to do so as well.
Number 5, stop looking in the rearview mirror at your sins of the past. Isaiah 43:18 Message Bible says, forget not about what happened and don't keep going over old history. The scripture is very clear about how God feels about those people who are looking back at past sins, failures, sin, and hurts. It doesn't make him happy, or it doesn't make him happy when other people do it either. I mean, about you. If you doubt what we just said, you need to read the words of Luke 9:62 for yourself. Luke 9:62, this in the Contemporary English Version. It says, Jesus answered, anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom.
Wow. Number 6, God's not the one dropping a load of guilt by your house. If you've messed up, not only does the enemy want you confessing your sins, he does not want you confessing your sins. He wants you to drop. He wants to drop off an abundance of guilt from your past mistakes. Psalm 51:9, New Living Translation. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. This particular trick of the devil can sometimes be overwhelming because you keep looking and rehearsing your past mistakes. The number one key to removing guilt is found in Psalm 51:10, New Living Translation. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Turn it over to God and let Him renew your spirit. One more verse. Isaiah 6:7, New Living Translation. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah
and amen. So be it. Number 7, when you mess up in life, ask for His help and He'll become the most valuable player on your team.
Yes.
To put a little football analogy this fall. Job 33:26 Message Bible says, or you may fall on your knees and pray to God's delight. You'll see God smile and celebrate. Finding yourself set right with God, you'll sing God's praises to everyone you meet, testifying, I messed up my life. And let me tell you, it wasn't worth it. But God stepped in and saved me from certain death. I'm alive again. Once more, I see the light. Point is, if we mess up, don't fret or freak out. Confess our sins, get right with God, move on, and see what God is destined to do through us.
When you ask God to forgive you your sins, He's faithful to do that.
That's it.
And not only forgive, but forget.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern. And until then, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.